In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need, which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willest, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful.
Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum and welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. The topic that we are going to discuss about in this episode is Islam and mental health. Be with us.
Things I used to do, and all the pain I put you through. Mama, now I'm here for you. For all the times I made you cry, the days I told you lies. Now it's time for you to rise. For all the things you sacrificed.
Today is Sunday, it's the 4th of Rabiul Thani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 8th of Aban, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 30th of October, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran and we'll listen to chapter Rad, verse 28.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Those who have believed and whose hearts are assured by the remembrance of Allah, unquestionably, by the remembrance of Allah, hearts are assured.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
And this is a short explanation about this ayah. Those who acknowledge the unity of Allah and accept His attributes and the prophetic mission of His Prophet and embrace whatever has been revealed from him, and their hearts are set at rest by the remembrance of Allah, allow Allah to soothe their hearts. For Allah's promise is decisive, and nothing will soothe the anxious hearts better than His divine, truthful promises. To remember Allah does not mean merely paying lip service to Him, though it is one of the clear examples of thinking of Him. For what counts is thinking of Allah in all circumstances, in particular at the time of committing sin. As previous episode of today's special, the topic of this episode is also Islam and mental health. For those of us who may be facing mental health issues or are coping with anxiety and negativity, one of the many ways that we may try to overcome these challenges is to take a balanced approach of both spirituality and practicality. From a spiritual perspective, we can refer and relate to the Quranic and prophetic text by internalizing the meaning of verses and sayings, accepting our humanness and weakness, acknowledging Allah's might and never giving up on His mercy. Those who are always in the remembrance of Allah will find happiness and relief. From a practical point of view, we are strongly encouraged to seek professional help and treatment for those of us who know an individual facing mental health issues, encourage and support them through their journey instead of shunning them.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is your host, Ali, and we are with you with another topic to discuss with each other about the role of faith and iman in improving the quality of life and mental health. Religion as a set of criticisms, do's and don'ts, as well as specific and generalized values, is considered one of the most effective psychological support that can provide the meaning of life in every moment of life, and in certain circumstances, by providing some support, a person safe from suspense and meaninglessness. A person can be saved from meaninglessness. Faith and hope leave many good effects in the personal and social lives of people, among which we can actually enumerate some of them. The first is peace and tranquility. The second of which is expansion of the mind and happiness. The third of which is increasing mental energy and ability to adapt to the environment. And the fourth of which is reduction of fear and anxiety. And the fifth that we shall talk about is increasing the power of making decision and social and participation in the social affairs. And the next point that, inshallah, we shall talk and discuss about is increasing the capacity of human beings about the concept of death and the life in the hereafter.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
Thank you very much for joining today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're speaking about mental health tips from the Quran and Sunnah. One of the tips is taking care of our body. Our body is a trust that Allah the Almighty has given us for a short, limited time in this worldly life. It is part of the many great blessings and favors that Allah has bestowed upon us, and it is our obligation to take care of it properly, not only to try and maintain good health in this life, but also, and most importantly, to make sure that we will be able to confidently answer to Allah on the Day of Judgment when we ask about how we took care of the body He, the Almighty, gave us. Additionally, recent research has shown that the way we take care of our body has a direct impact on our mental health. Eating healthy, exercising, being outdoors, sleeping enough, and etc. all have been shown to have a really positive impact on depression. And additional to that, anxiety and even pessimism. This is not about preparing for the next marathon or following the latest trendy diet. Rather, the idea is to understand that we function as a holistic being. our physical health has an impact on our mental health and vice versa. This part starts with a nice question. Does Islam provide guidelines on how to deal with mental illness? Yes. Various types of mental illness have been discussed by Muslim scholars for centuries. It should be clarified, however, that in discussing the beneficial role that spirituality and psycho-spiritual therapy, such as prayer, can have on mental health and well-being, we do not intend to minimize other forms of treatment. This delicate balance was understood by Muslim scholars centuries before the development of modern psychiatry. For instance, the 14th century scholar writes that the second category of diseases of the heart are based on emotional states, such as anxiety, sadness, depression, and anger. These types of ailment can be treated naturally by treating the cause or with medicine that goes against the cause. And this is because the heart is harmed by what harms the body and vice versa.
The mind and body are amazing creations of God. And for as much as modern medicine knows about these two, there is as much that they do not know. How do they function? Can they go out of balance? And if they do, how can that balance be restored? So, you know, let me provide you some details of the experts. They say that there are two different terms that we should be aware of. And again, this will not be a class in medicine, but they say there is something called mental health and then mental illness. Now, what's the difference between the two? Well, the experts tell us that mental illnesses are described as disturbances in thoughts, feelings, and perceptions that are severe enough to affect day-to-day functioning of the individual. Some examples we were told are anxiety disorders, schizophrenia, mood disorders, such as major depressive disorders and bipolar disorder, and many others that the experts have spoken about. Mental health, however, they say, is a state of well-being, which we all have. Just like each of us has a state of physical health, and maybe sometimes we get the cold or a cough or the sniffles, but we still have physical health, generally speaking. We also, each of us has our own mental health that we need to look after and take care of. And as the experts say, it's not just about surviving. No, it's about thriving, enjoying life as God wants us to, and fulfilling our obligations, having a sense of purpose, being able to manage our highs and lows in life rather than allowing it to, you know, completely take us over, unfortunately.
Thank you very much, and that was all for today's special. Inshallah, we'll continue this interesting topic. Till then, take care. Have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami. علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لفتى
فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us reflect on a wonderful maxim from Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him, the 11th infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. The wine drinker is like an idolater for his disobedience of God.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith, which is which has been transmitted from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. This hadith is about the virtue of action and the enjoyment of righteous action. You know, it's not enough for us to know what is good and what is wrong and to distinguish them from one another in our mind, right? Or even to believe that they're good. It's necessary for us to act upon what we know. Until we don't act upon what we know, right, we will not be rewarded. We won't be rewarded for simply knowing whether something is good or not, having understood it. In fact, knowing something is good but not acting upon it could be a source of torment and anxiety in the hereafter. In the Holy Quran, we read the following. Allah Ta'ala says, "Whoever acts righteously, whether male or female, should he be faithful, we will revive him with a good life and pay them their reward by the best of what they used to do." So the condition and the cause of felicity in the hereafter is action. Knowledge in itself is not a virtue in Islam. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "He from whom Allah accepts a single prayer, He will not punish. Nor he from whom He accepts a single good deed." Right? This is kind of interesting hadith because first the Imam, he specified a good deed in the form of the ritual prayer, and said if Allah accepts one of man's good deeds, Allah will not punish one of man's good deeds, meaning one of his prayers, his ritual prayers, Allah will not punish him. But then the Imam generalized this matter. He said that even if Allah accepts one of man's good deeds, regardless of whether that good deed that he accepts is an act of the ritual prayer or not, regardless of what that good deed is, Allah will not punish this person, right? So it's not even important about how many good deeds we perform or how many of our good deeds are accepted. Whatever we perform with sincerity and it's accepted, you know, Allah will overlook those other, bad things that we had done and forgive us for them. In a similar fashion, Imam Hadi alayhi salam said the following, "People transact through wealth in this world and through deeds in the hereafter." In this hadith, Imam Hadi alayhi salam compares the hereafter with a marketplace. In the marketplace, we give money, we buy a product. In the hereafter, you know, our deeds are like the commodity, the money that we give, and the reward is like the commodity that we purchase. Right? So over there, the thing that is of value and through which, you know, the transactions, you know, will be conducted are our good deeds. You know, our good deeds. But in contrast to this world where the more wealth we have, the more spending power we have, over there it's not the quantity of our good deeds that are of true value. It's the quality with which they were performed, the sincerity, the ikhlas with which they were performed. This is the true measure of the value of their of the value of, you know, our good deeds there. Knowing something is not acting up good, but a source on it could be torment of and anxiety after in the hereafter. In the Holy Quran, read the following. Quran we read says, "Who Allah Ta'ala righteously, whoever acts whether male or will, should he or female be faithful, will revive, we will a good life him with pay them and reward him there by the best by the use to of what to do." The condition, so and the cause of the cause hereafter is felicity and knowledge in its action. Virtue in itself is not a virtue in Islam. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "Salam, see from he Allah accept whom Allah prayers a single he will not punish nor he whom he accept he from whom
Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq
bismillahir rahmanir rahim ya ayyuhal muzammil qum al-layla illa qalila نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآن
let's recite the Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. We really welcome you all. Thank you so much for joining us today. And here are again some of the students of Sevier International School, Brother Fawad Haider, Hussein Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah, and Sayyid Ali Nasir. I really welcome you all. Assalamu alaikum, and how are you? Fine?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Alhamdulillah, I'm good. Fawad?
Fine. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Hassan?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Everything all right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Ali Nasir? How about you?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Great. Okay. That's great. That's great. So, brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now, today, inshallah, again, we'll be having two of the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Okay? These two verses are our topic for today, and we will be, inshallah, working on the Tajweed rules in these two verses. And also, we'll have a short explanation. So, before we start, let me tell you what verses. Verses number 46 and 47. So I want you to turn to Surah Al-Baqarah, if you have your Quran with you, verse 46 and 47. Before we start, let's listen to these verses. So, alhamdulillah, we listened. Nice recitation. Thank you so much. Now, I will be reciting, and brothers here will be, inshallah, listening and repeating after us. Make sure, brothers and sisters who are listening to us, as you listen, please repeat as well, okay? Ready, everyone?
Yes.
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقو ربهم وأنهم إليه راجعون
الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقو ربهم وأنهم إليه راجعون
يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم
يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم
اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأني فضلتكم على العالمين
اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأني فضلتكم على العالمين
أحسنتم. Thank you so much. In the previous verses, verse 45, Allah Almighty says, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. We were talking about خَاشِعِينَ, yeah? خَاشِع is someone who is obedient, someone who is humble, yeah? when it comes to follow the rules of Allah Almighty, they do not, for example, say no or say, like, they are not kind of frustrating, okay, or kind of beating around the bush, okay? They just follow, yeah. It's for them, it's very easy, and they are humble, obedient, okay? Like Salat, indeed, it was kind of difficult for those who are not khashi, but for those who are khashi, Salat, doing prayer is not a difficult thing. Yes, they are always looking forward to hear the azan sound and then go and pray. Yeah? So Allah Almighty in the next ayah says, who are khashi'in? Alladhina yadhunnuna. Dhan has two meanings. Doubt, it's something more than doubt. And also it means certain thing. Whenever you dhan something, okay, in Arabic you say dhan, it has two meanings. Either you have believe in it, you believe in it, okay, there is no doubt, or sometimes you doubt about something, okay? So here it doesn't mean doubt, it means believing, being certain in something, okay? Alladhina, those khashi'in are those who yadhunnuna, those who are certain, okay? Who are certain, who believe for sure that annahum mulaqu rabbihim, they will encounter their Lord, they will meet their Lord. Do they really meet their Lord? Do we really meet our Lord? We do not meet our Lord like seeing his face, because Allah Almighty doesn't have face. Okay, that's why we know Allah Almighty by his attributes. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, yeah? Al-Qadir, Al-Khaliq, Al-Bari. We know Allah Almighty by his attributes. Yes? Because we have a limitation of understanding. So that's why we can't. We have a long discussion, okay, and beliefs, okay? Islamic beliefs that you can find the answer there. So here, like, for example, if someone is blind, if you take him to someone, okay, to meet someone, he is blind. He can't see the person he was going to meet, yes? But is it still called meeting or no? Yeah, yes. It's called meeting. Suppose yes. It's like that, okay? So we do not see our Lord by our eyes, but we can feel him. We can see his punishments and his rewards. So recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa rajul.
So, it has a long discussion. So, I really want you to refer to the Tafsir book, inshallah.
Qur'ani nabdu hayati, Qur'ani tahra dhati, Qur'ani asmatu amri, Qur'ani tawqu najati. Qur'ani nabdu hayati.
How to learn Qur'an easy? What is the correct way to read the Qur'an? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
So, guys, الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ. There is a tashdeed, right?
Yes.
Yes.
يَظُنُّونَ. So make sure you prolong the sound for two counts. يَظُنُّونَ. إِدْغَام also. يَظُنُّونَ. Yes, إِدْغَام. الَّذِينَ ذَال. And then pronunciation of the letter ظَا. الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ. Right? أَنَّهُمْ. Again, إِدْغَام. أَنَّهُمْ. Again, إِدْغَام. Idgham mithlain, meme plus meme. Right, Fawad? Fawad yes. Is so good at idgham mithlain. Annahum mulaqu, mulaqu. Make sure there is a baby alif on the top of lam. That indicates this is prolonged for two count, the same as alif mat, right?
Yes.
It's called dagger alif.
Yes.
Or the baby alif.
Yes. Right?
We have also baby waw, which also works as the father waw. We have also baby ya, which works as the father, yeah, okay, and baby Aleph is the father Aleph, okay? They work the same. Yeah. Don't think like, oh, it's baby, so it doesn't prolong that sound, okay? It's just one count. No, again, it's two count. أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا long sound. رَبِّهِمْ heavy, ra. رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ إِلَيْهِ. What sound is it? What mad is it? لين مد اللين ما شاء الله علي ناصر وأنهم إليه راجعون a baby alif again راجعون okay make sure two counts okay حسن
yes
so حسن read this ayah
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقو ربهم وأنهم إليه راجعون
أحسن thank you that was great so next ayah يا بني إسرائيل there is a mad but is the mad واجب يا بني
no
why because no. the hamza
is not in the
in that word letter. It's in the next yes. word but the mad in the word is إسرائيل That one. It's wajib, right?
Wajib, yes.
Why, Fawad? Here it is one word. Okay? Here it is one word. Used as one word. Israel, when it's compound word, it's in the Hebrew language, I think. Okay? But not. Here it is used as one word, okay? Israel, it's mad wajib mutasil. Right? Hamza. Udhkuru. So, if you start from udhkuru, I said it already. So, you put a dhamma on the top of Hamza al wasl, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Udhkuru. Why? Because
the third letter is
the third letter has
a dhamma.
Udhkuru, not idhkuru, not adhkuru. Ni'mati yallati an'amtu. An'amtu nun sakin plus ayn. Ali Nasir, what rule is applied here?
Iqlab. No.
That's wrong, man.
Idhar.
No change, no merit, no?
Hide.
Just Idhar, do it.
Yes.
Read it. An'amtu alaykum. Wa anni. Again, Idgham. Wa anni. Right?
Yes.
Anni faddaltukum. Alal alameen. The letter that Fawad Haider has a lot of problem with it. Ayn. Can you say عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ for what?
عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ
Oh, he has fixed it. MashaAllah, recite a salawat for him.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Okay. So, guys, that was all about the tajweed rules. Since the tajweed rules are getting so much easier for you, okay, we're not paying attention to simple ones, okay? Just the difficult ones we'll work on. So, if you had any questions, guys, you can ask me. But if you don't have, do you have any questions?
No, sir.
No. So I really want you for the explanation, refer to the Tafasir book, inshallah, interpretations, okay? And also for the Tajweed rules, listen to our audio again and again, inshallah, and practice. So stay with us. Inshallah, we'll be here with you in the next sessions, okay? With the next verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thanks to Allah Almighty for giving us the chance. And thank you so much, IRIB English Radio. And also thank you so much, Sevier International School. So, see you inshallah. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi Muhammad.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبي لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Ocean of Dua.
Illallah,
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned. تسمع فيها صوت عبد مسلم سجن فيها بمخالفته وذاق طعم عذابها بمعصيته وحبس بين أطباقها بجرمه وجريرته وهو يضج إليك ضجيج مؤمل لرحمته ويناديك بلسان أهل توحيدك ويتوسل إليك بربوبيتك. Brothers and sisters, as you were previously with us, you know that we have reached this part of the Divine Kumail supplication. Imam Ali alayhi salam in this part says, يا مولاي فكيف يبقى في العذاب وَهُوَ يَرْجُو مَا سَلَفَ مِنْ حِلْمِكَ. My protector, how should he remain in the chastisement while he has hope for your previous clemency? أَمْ كَيْفَ تُؤْلِمُهُ النَّارُ وَهُوَ يَأْمُلُ فَضْلَكَ وَرَحْمَتَكَ. Or how should the fire cause him pain while he expects your bounty and mercy? أَمْ كَيْفَ يُحْرِقُهُ لَهِيبُهَا وَأَنْتَ تَسْمَعُ صَوْتَهُ وَتَرَى مَكَانَهُ. Or how should its flames burn him while you hear his voice, while you see his place? Earlier in the previous episode, we mentioned that we have many Quranic verses and traditions implying that the Almighty Allah has a vast ocean of mercy and for all the servants. But this vast ocean is for the one who intends, the one who truly wills and longs for reaching this kind of mercy. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, مَا مِن شَيْءٍ أَكْرَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ إِبْنِ آدَمٍ. Nothing in Allah's presence is more valuable than Adam's progeny. إِلَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. He was then asked, O Messenger, aren't the angels as valuable as the human beings? Aren't they at least the same level? He stated, قال الملائكة مجبورون بمنزلة الشمس والقمر. The angels, just like the sun and the moon, are obliged to worship and glorify Allah. This means that the human beings have the blessings of freedom and will. Whenever the human beings use this freedom in performing Allah's orders, they would get subjected to His especial mercy and benevolence.
My Lord, glory and praise be to you. Would you disregard the voice of a Muslim slave imprisoned in hell for his disobedience and imprisoned within its pits for his evil doings and misdeeds, crying out to you the cries of one who has faith in your mercy and calling out to you in the language of those who believe in your unity and seeking to approach you by means of your epithet.
Thank you, Allah, God, that we hear, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true. And we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So you have seen in different parts of the Kumail supplication the name of mercy, the name of clemency, the name of hope and staying hopeful, and instances that, as Imam Ali alayhi salam is describing in this part of the Kumail supplication, the person who is under chastisement, the person who is confined within the different levels of hellfire, is still hopeful for Almighty Allah's mercy. Now, in the Islamic sources, there is a key mentioned, an important key of mercy. And this is what Imam Ali alayhi salam says. Imam Ali says, supplication is the key of mercy. In his will to his son, Imam Hassan alayhi salam, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib says, thereafter, he put the keys of his treasuries in your hand, and that he has allowed you to ask him from it. So whenever you wished, you opened the doors of his treasuries through supplication. The phrase, so whenever you wished, you opened the doors of his treasuries through supplication, has a clear indication to the kind of relation which exists between prayer and the response. And of course, this key of mercy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made ready for the servants. Supplication is that key by which we unlock the treasures of Allah's mercy. The treasures of Allah's mercy have no end, but not everyone has and possesses the key to the treasures. Not everyone is able to open the treasures of his mercy. That is why we mentioned one important tradition in the previous episode, that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "Iyyakum wal kasal." Avoid laziness and dullness, because your Lord is beneficent and grants great rewards for your small acts. This prayer is one of those keys of mercy. But the point is, if the supplicant truly wants to be in this vast ocean of mercy or not. The verse of the Holy Quran says, whatever mercy Allah unfolds for the people, no one can withhold it. This means the keys of mercy and salvation are in the hands of the human beings. But the point is whether they want to use it or not. Dear listeners, we will try to discuss different aspects of prayer as one important key of mercy in the next episodes. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Thank you for staying with us. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye. Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, don't let stray, 'cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you through all my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way. Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Stories from the Past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun alaikum. So welcome to this episode of Lantern from IRIB English Radio. On the continuation of this program, Lantern, we have an interesting story, and I invite you to listen to it. The title of today's story is Dr. Goldsmith. There was once a king, a kind man whose name was Oliver Goldsmith. He wrote many delightful books, some of which you will read when you are older. He had a gentle heart. He was always ready to help others and to share with them anything that he had. He gave away so much to the poor that he was always poor himself. He was sometimes called Dr. Goldsmith, for he had studied to be a physician. One day, a poor woman asked Dr. Goldsmith to go and see her husband, who was sick and could not eat. Goldsmith did so. He found that the family was in great need. The man had not had work for a long time. He was not sick, but in distress. And as for eating, there was no food in the house. "Call at my room this evening," said Goldsmith to the woman, "and I will give you some medicine for your husband." In the evening, the woman called. Goldsmith gave her a little paper box that was very heavy. "Here is the medicine," he said. "Use it faithfully, and I think it will do your husband a great deal of good. But don't open the box until you reach home." What are the directions for taking it?" asked the woman. "You will find them inside of the box," he answered. When the woman reached her home, she sat down by her husband's side and they opened the box. What do you think they found in it? It was full of pieces of money, and on the top were the directions: "To be taken as often as necessity requires." Goldsmith had given them all the ready money that he had. Thank you very much. Really, that was a very interesting story. And we'll listen to the points of this story and the continuation of Lantern. Be with us.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum and welcome to Lantern, our topic of discussion that is sadaqah or alms, what is known generally as alms. The case that we can talk about the eligibility of giving alms is in the cause of Allah, that is, in the way to spread Islam. The next one is to the wayfarer, Ibn al-Sabil, that is, a traveler or travelers who do not have enough money to go back home. Now, it comes to say that how we can give and pay these alms. God has forbidden giving the alms in some ways. The first way that has been introduced as a forbidden way is giving it out of pretensionness. Such alms is invalid. Or giving alms